and welcome to the A-League's Fantasy Show, where each week we will bring you all the latest news and tips in the world of both men's and women's A-League fantasy competitions. My name is Campbell Johnson, and I'm thrilled to be joined by two of the biggest fantasy experts around. Maddie, you've been joining me every week. Welcome to the show. It's a big week this week because we've got a very special guest.
Yeah, thank you, CJ. You're giving me the expert's title, but I feel like I'm being a bit dwarfed by the man in the studio with us today, Mr. Nicholas Debano. If you'd like to maybe tell everyone listening along what position in A-League's Women Fantasy you are, that would be fantastic to hear, mate.
Well, first, thank you for the introduction. I woke up to the shock on Monday morning seeing that there was, in fact, the number one and no other digits next to it in the overall ranking on A-League Women's Fantasy this week. I was like, because I knew that last week I was in the top 10. I thought, oh, I've had an okay week. Maybe I could go two or three slots up, but I didn't think I'd be number one, you know, and the way I kind of feel is I feel unworthy. I feel like I shouldn't be there. You know, I've had people joking all week, have you been fudging the numbers? I'm like, no, I can't do that. I genuinely can't. It's been a bit of luck, some really good performances from some of the players in my team. And here we are now after five rounds sitting top of A-League Women's Fantasy.
Well, Maddie, I'm 229 ranks lower than our good friend Nick Debano. He's certainly doing quite a bit better than I am. What about you? How are you faring five rounds in? We're at a good point where we can start to look at these as a bit of a measuring stick.
Yeah, well, I scored a solid 120 this week, so I was happy with that. But then, obviously, Mr. Debano comes and reigns on all of our parades. And I just want to know, to all of your competitors, you know, nipping at your heels in that top 10, what is your message? Is it going to be a come and get me, or, you know, everyone's welcome at the top table? What's your sort of positional stance as the league leader?
You know what, Matt? I'm a humble leader. I'm not someone who's going to go out of their way and rub it in people's faces. The message is, yeah, try and knock me off because I'm not going to give it up anytime soon. I'm happy where I am. I don't want to lose my spot. That's as simple as it's going to be. It's not going to be too much trash talk because I don't want it to come back and bite me.
Brilliant. Well, Maddie, you mentioned there that he's the leader, and you are the leader of this fantasy podcast team, the dictator, some might say. So give us a rundown of how our team as a podcast squad is going.
You know, straight after a 73-point, very modest 73-point haul, you're giving the ownership of the team straight to me, Campbell.
Oh, yes.
I'm not
absolutely
appreciating that. We are all in the same boat here. And Debano, you might have missed the first five, six rounds of the season, but now you are an official member of the seven or eight person strong coaching panel. So this is your mess to deal with as well. But yes, it was a bit of a tough round for us last week. Our captain, Rihanna Polisena, 0 points, the big donut. That really killed us. But a bit of a masterstroke in our transfers in, got us some point saving in there. But yes, it was overall a bit of an average round for the AFC podcast crew.
Well, you mentioned there that Nick hasn't been on the previous weeks. There's been a bit of shade thrown in previous weeks between a few of the members. Nick, do you have anything to say for the previous, any trades that have gone down? Do you have any grievances you need to air? Because now's the time you do it.
Well, there's a few people you guys have left out of this team, which is just baffling. I mean, I've kept my mouth shut. I've sat in the distance. I've watched. I've just, you know, just seen how things have played out, gone, okay, you know what? Let's just wait and see. Let's see what they can do without my help. And then when they need me in their time of hour, I'll step in and I'll fix it all up for them. But no, the team is still in a really solid position. There's been a bit of bad luck. I mean, you know, Rihanna Polisena scoring 0 points. I mean, when is that ever going to happen? I mean, it's an absolute fluke. And usually when someone scores zero, it's a DNP, and that goes to the vice captain. It would have been Fiona Wirtz. So that's 50 points right there. But unfortunately, it was zero and playing minutes. So it meant, of course, you know, it doesn't count for anything. It means just 0 points. It is essentially a DNP. You know, Kirsty Fenton getting injured doesn't help. The Canberra missing a game last week. So Vesna Milivojevic has missed the last 2 weeks. And I think it's impacted everyone in fantasy having to scamper around, get replacements, bench her, not really knowing what to do to fill what is a player that's averaging 19.3 points, which is just massive. And even Fenton averaging 16.5. So, yeah, I think the big thing is sort of the one thing that really leaps off the page, of course, is there's a couple changes that definitely need to happen. Obviously, some, you know, just we'll definitely get to is obviously getting Milivojevic back into the starting lineup. You know, I'm a big fan of Kiawa Hayata, but of course, you know, Milivojevic is there. You can't leave her out of the team. She's got to be straight back in there, maybe even captained this week. Kirsty Fenton misses again this week, which is really disappointing, of course, with injury. And, you know, I think in goals, I think that's the area we need to target, guys. I think, you know, it's been a bit, you know, we haven't had the output we would have liked from Lizianne Prull. And, of course, now Lissa Delost is looked like she's been relegated now to the number two position at Western United with Hillary Bill coming back.
That is a position we'll touch on in just a moment. But, Matty, we've thrown out the proverbial bat signal at the moment for Nick Devano to come in. And that's a big part of the reason last week there was a decision about a certain midfielder that may have not turned out exactly how we'd hoped.
The player that we'd probably be looking to move out would be a Daniela Galic, who's not been, you know, performing too brilliantly from a fantasy perspective so far. So, you know, we've got that sort of option there. What I said there was true, gentlemen. She hadn't been performing well over the first few rounds, 23 points in total over 4 weeks. And then we move her out for the first time and she hits us with the 23-point slam dunk. When I saw that, my stomach just absolutely dropped. But, you know, I think that you're very, very keen to play the anti-Comito little sound grab, CJ. And you're very conveniently overlooking the Fiona Wirtz masterclass that I pulled off last week as well to get her in 25 points.
Absolutely.
In hindsight, she should have been our captain. And Dabana, you've got a look on your face that I want to wipe right off. So let's air your grievances, my friend.
No. This isn't an airing of the grievances. I've got your back on this one because I also traded out Daniela Galic last week and I thought, oh, you know, she's not playing that well at the moment. I'm not getting the fantasy rewards. And, you know, I thought, okay, I've got to bring Macy Fraser into my team. And, you know, now I regret making the move. I wish I could have both in my team right now. But, yeah, so, Matt, don't worry, mate. I feel you. I have egg on my face as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've always got my guard up on this show naturally. I'm not used to someone coming into that for me. I think we might need to get Devano on the show a bit more often. But, yeah, Daniela Galic with 23 points, shot into the team of the week. Some more of the high scorers. A big shout-out to Hannah Lowry, the Perth Glory midfield maestro with a couple of goals. Fiona Wirtz there as well. And, of course, we have to touch on Holly McNamara, guys. 20% ownership in the game. Obviously, the absolutely devastating news of her third ACL tear of her young career, and it comes off another match-winning performance, another two goals. It was really looking like an absolute star of just the season in general and obviously as a fantasy player. So that's sort of thrown a bit of a spanner amongst the works for fantasy owners. But, you know, first and foremost, missing McNamara for the rest of the season just as a player and watching one of the best in the league. What an absence we're going to have, guys.
Yeah, and we wish her a speedy recovery. I mean, doing her third ACL the day after she got recalled to the Matildas squad is cruel, and we hope it's not a career-defining situation. We hope she can recover quickly and be the amazing player that she has shown she can be. Let's look at our team, though, first and see what changes we can be made. Nick, you mentioned before in goals we may have not an issue, but a place to address.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a pretty straightforward swap this week, guys. I think that bringing in Hillary Beale, who is only still, as my calculations are right now, at least hasn't been, unless coaches are still making their moves, and only in 0.4% of teams. Getting Hillary Beale in now, you know, she obviously will have one more week on the bubble until her price will increase. So, coaches, if you decide you want to give it one more week and see how Beale plays against Western Sydney Wanderers, probably not a bad shout, but I'd get on it this week. They're playing the Wanderers, you know, their attack. I mean, they did score 3 goals against Melbourne City before their sort of week off against Canberra. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind. But for most weeks, they have struggled to find the back of the net. So I do think that Hillary Beale is a safe option to come in if you're looking to upgrade your goalkeeper stocks. And guys, I don't know about you, but I think given that she's probably going to be the number one for the rest of the season, unless there's some unforeseen change that we don't know of, I think that bringing her in for Alyssa Dalos makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, let's lock that one in. We'll make our only one change for the week, give ourselves a bit of a breathing room with our trades for the rest of the season. And that seems like a very, very smart call there, Debano. Just if you're looking for any other quick price sort of players that might have a price windfall over the next week or so to get in your teams, Rachel Lowe has an expected price range, a price rise of 93K. Fiona Wirtz, 85K. Susan Fonson-Cam, 20K. She's in brilliant form. And the Wanderers defender, Vicky Bruce, another 54K is in the bank if she performs the way she's been going. So, gentlemen, those are the players to attack if you want to get a bit more value into your squad leading into the next round.
Love it. I'll definitely have my eyes on a few of those, few of them in my team as well. Let's address the Holly McNamara situation as well, just quietly, because we don't have her in our team, but this is a problem that a lot of fantasy managers are going to have now with her unfortunate injury. 563,000, just over that, needs to be replaced in a lot of people's attacks. How would we approach that? Are we maybe looking at Rhianna Polisina? Is she now going to play a bigger role or a more central role or that same kind of role? Nick, what are you thinking? Or are there any other players in fantasy that you'd consider to replace Holly McNamara?
So the most popular trade so far has actually been getting in Fiona Wirtz. A lot of coaches have looked to go to Wirtz if they don't have her already. And I think that that makes a lot of sense because you're banking around about, I think it's around over 300K. So it sets you up then to really attack and move some other pieces around. We know when Fiona Wirtz is at her best, she's probably valued at around a similar point, especially when she was at her best a couple of years ago with Adelaide United. But you are right, Campbell. I think Rhianna Polisina is the another like-for-like option in terms of if you're just looking to get someone in from Melbourne City who will probably take up most of the sort of onus up front, I think Polisina makes a lot of sense. She had an off week last week, but if you have her in your team, I wouldn't be panicking, especially if you already have Wirtz and you're looking to get that other option in. Another player to watch, I think, is also Hannah Wilkinson. I mean, she has 300, she's 329K. A couple lean weeks or one really lean week, she's averaged above eight and then only just had the 1 week of two. The only thing to keep in mind is that she had a lot of great service from Holly McNamara. So maybe give it a week, see how the city attack kind of looks without McNamara. But another couple options just to throw out there. Hannah Keane starting to find some form again for Western United and playing again as a striker, not as a winger. So that's something to definitely keep in mind. And another one as well, who is quietly having a really good fantasy year. If you want to go very kind of left field, Hannah Blake at Adelaide United is having a sneaky good fantasy year, averaging 10.8 points. So someone just to keep in mind if you're looking for a bit of a left field option.
I think Hannah Blake might be the hipster's pick in fantasy this year. Some fantastic suggestions. So if you need to replace Holly McNamara, listen to the oracle that is Nick Debano at the moment. And remember, you can join our fantasy league. Find the link in the show notes below for this episode, whichever platform you're listening to us on. Take us on, take on your mates as well. Make sure you join in the fun and play against us. Let's move on to the Isuzu Ute A-League. Maddie, give us a rundown of how we did this week. It's not our finest effort, but by a long way, not our worst.
Yes, and we've had the international break to let the 68-point haul sort of fester. You know, we're thinking what could have been here, what could have been there, but it wasn't great. In our league, we've jumped down into 116th, as we mentioned last week. Some players going out of form and, you know, a couple of minus scores here and there has really hurt us. But I want to throw this to Debano. You know, you've got a team looking right at you here with the likes of Tate Russell, which has been a bit of a masterclass, Oscar Zavato, Bruno Fornaroli have been excellent picks, Jay O'Shea, very solid. But then you've got the likes of, you know, Lockie Wales, Johnny Yoll, Zenadine Machach, who's been good and bad here and there. It from a fantasy perspective, Mikhail Doko can't really get on the park. Ben Garuccio in a struggling Western defense. What do you make of the sort of AFC podcast team over the first sort of five rounds?
Well, it's better than what it was a few weeks ago when everyone suffered the minus week and everyone just copped that horrible week. And I remember writing up the fantasy review on aleagues.com.au and going through that team, and all I felt was just I felt sad. It was actually really depressing seeing the amount of DMPs and minuses. It was just a horrific weekend. I think that might have been round two from memory. I think it was just after Adelaide had won 6-0 and the Wanderers won 5-0. It was just not a good weekend for fantasy owners if you had players from Western United and Melbourne City. But alas, the team's not bad. I mean, there are a few players in this team that obviously underperformed before the break. Tolgay Arslan got injured. He's in the squad, I believe, this week to come back, which, of course, he's a safe bet when he's playing and playing well to get a good score. I think that with Zizou, I wouldn't be panicking because we know what he can do when he's on. He's one player certainly to back in. But yeah, there are a few players that have kind of dropped off. Lockie Wells, of course, has dropped off because Western haven't scored in the last 3 weeks. So that's a little bit of concern if they don't sort of turn that around. Then the big one, though, is, of course, we got the news today that Oscar Zavada is injured. A groin injury, a real shame going into this weekend against Melbourne City. So that leaves us with a really big decision to make. Do we wait it out? Do we kind of go, look, let's give it a bit of time. Let's see what the official sort of, you know, diagnosis is. How long is he going to be on the sidelines for? Or do we make the call now, get another premium attacking option in? What are you guys thinking?
My personal opinion would be to hold on Oscar because we don't know the extent of the injury. And like we've said in a number of these discussions over the past weeks, you know, we come to a weekend where we know a player's not going to play, and we know that after said weekend, we're going to want that player straight back into our team. Take Vesna Milivojevic in the A-League Women's discussion as an example this week. If we had traded her out last week, we would have been scrambling to get a 500-plus player, 1,000-player back into our squad. So I reckon we stick with the big O for another week and see what the prognosis is after this weekend. If you're looking for a player who's going to bolster your budget and give you some room to work with from next week and onwards, Tate Russell, a very early pick from the fantasy podcast, this one, his value keeps on rising. He's projected to go up another 84K this week. Joe Lolly and Jaden Kucharski, two Sydney FC guns after that incredible win over Adelaide, are both expected to rise by 70K, 61K. Apostolos Stamatolopoulos from Newcastle Jets, 57K projected increase. He's been on fire. And another player from Adelaide, Nick, who you are very high on as well as me, is Zach Clough. He seems to be on a tear of form despite the hefty defeat that Adelaide had against Sydney FC last week, or in round four, sorry. The midfielder is projected to rise another 50K after this week if his form continues. And Zach Clough is looking like an excellent player for people to consider at this point in time.
I think in terms of the squad makeup, we've already got quite a lot of good players here. Are there any that would we want to change the formation? Nick, I think you've got a change you want to make in the goalkeeping department.
Yeah, I think it's a quite natural straight swap. I think Alex Paulson in for Thomas Hewitt-Bell, averaging close to 10 points a game for me. I don't know about you guys, but I think let's bring him in this week.
Yeah, and that's coming off our bench, to be clear. We've got the two goalkeepers in our team, and we will move Paulson onto the field. And we're going to keep Oscar Zavada, which means we're going to shift formations from a 2-5-3 to a 3-5-2. And I believe, gentlemen, that we're going to take out Bernardo Oliveira, who has gotten us a fair bit of a financial dividend, keeping him in the squad while he's risen in price over the last few weeks. And Campbell, one of your favourites, I think we're eyeing off the free agency to bring into the starting 11 this week.
I like the idea of this. I did bring him in last week as well, so he did very well for me. Tom Waddingham, the 18-year-old, the Queenslander. He'll be featuring as a part of A-League's All Access this week as well. A big doubleheader for them at Suncorp this Sunday. So let's bring him in. Let's bring in Watto. He was on fire in the Australia Cup. He was on Ollie Roux's duty recently. Or was it Young Socceroos? Which one was it? Where they were in Marbella. I can't remember which side it was. Either way, he scored overseas, has come back in, scored his first A-League's goal. Let's bring him in. He's at a good price range. That'll get us some cash as well to make other changes, potentially, if we want to in the future. Bernardo, he's pocketed us a good bit of money as well, Matt.
Yeah, he was 165K when we brought him in a couple of weeks ago, and we're getting rid of him for 320 now. So, you know, doing that and then bringing in Tom Waddingham will we barely have any budget right now, and then that'll leave us with a good amount to work with moving forward. So that sort of shows the importance of bringing in a player early on a trend, you know, riding the points for a couple of weeks. Bernardo didn't perform amazingly for us from a fantasy perspective, but, you know, now we've got those funds in, and if Waddingham does the same, then we could have $200,000-$300,000 to work to get another elite striker in all of a sudden. Zavada, Fornaroli, and a really another top draw forward at our disposal. So that's kind of the thinking, that if you're down on luck in fantasy, there's always a couple of moves that you can make over a couple of weeks to get back on the horse and start, you know, pushing for the top spot that the Debanos of the world are holding in the fantasy rankings.
Just the one change in terms of ins and outs: Tom Waddingham coming in, Bernardo going out, and then Ben Garuccio coming into the defense. I like it. You guys can play against us as well, not only in the Liberty A-League, but also in the Isuzu Ute A-League Fantasy. You can find the link to join our league in the show notes for this episode on whichever podcast platform you're listening to us on. So make sure you sign up for that one. Play against us. Play against your mates. All that fun stuff. So make sure you sign up for that one right now. Let's head in to the tips for this round. A big weekend of action. Guys, let's get some general thoughts on what do we think about this weekend, both in the Liberty A-League and the Isuzu Ute A-League, as a general sweeping statement. Are you excited for this weekend, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, the Sydney Derby, of course, that's the, you know, the sort of easy answer in this one. It's such a great fixture. I mean, it's really regained a little bit of spice over the last year with, of course, you know, with the games last year, the bit of feud between Ninkovic and Coric. Obviously now Coric has moved on, and it's a bit of a new era. It's real chummy vibes at the moment between Ufuk Tale and Marco Rudan. But I'm sure that once the game kicks off on Saturday at Allianz Stadium, it's going to be anything but. I'm really looking forward to that one. Sydney's back in form. The Wanderers are in form. So I think it's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah, I'm going to turn my attention to the Liberty A-League and the distance derby in Wellington. First versus third. Perth Glory on top of the table, still unbeaten this season. Drop points to Melbourne Victory, obviously, last round. But how exciting has it been watching, especially the young Phoenix team as well? They've been absolutely superb to watch this season. I think there are young, exciting players all over the park on both sides this week, and I'm looking forward to putting my feet up and sitting down and watching the distance derby from all the way over here, however many thousand kilometers it is away in Perth, and hopefully it's an absolute cracker.
Well, it wouldn't be A-League's fantasy show without Maddie bigging up Perth Glory, our Perth correspondent. Let's get straight into the tips for this week, guys. We can spend a little bit more time than we usually do breaking down each fixture. Maddie, we'll start with you. Western United versus Western Sydney. This is a bit of a tough one at the moment.
Yeah, I think that, like we were mentioning before, the return of Hillary Beale really makes Western United such a different prospect now. I think it completely changes their dynamic. They're gonna look so much more rock solid moving forward. But of course, they are sort of, you know, coming up against a Western Sydney team that held their own against Melbourne City a couple of weeks back. Sophie Harding in particular was really, really effective going forward. I don't know what you two thought about her attacking play, but sort of like lightning on the counter attack. They were very dangerous from corners and set pieces with Vicky Bruce and Sophie Harding. The Wanderers didn't start brilliantly, but they could very easily pick up some momentum. So it'll probably be sort of a real in-form striker for me and Sophie Harding versus the rock-solid addition of Hillary Beale, which might make this one a really sort of interesting contest.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a fascinating one. I'm really high now. I've always have been about Western United. Of course, we're going to talk about Western Australian bias. We've got to throw a bit of Victorian bias in here as well. And, you know, I think Mark Torcaso's got this team. I think after a bit of a rocky start, starting to get this team back on the straight and narrow, especially with the return of Hillary Beale, as you mentioned, Matt, between the sticks. You know, I really like now they've got Hannah Keane playing as a striker again. I think that's really important. Legazo playing back a little bit deeper as part of that midfield, Keane playing, you know, natural role. And now playing someone like Lucy Richards as part of that front three, having watched her in MPLW Victoria this year with Calder, she's got a lot of talent. I've got to say, there are some real hidden gems in this Western United team. And they've also got Ivani Prakash as well, who I've got high stocks on Prakash. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they go this week at City Vista.
Just one conversation without the NPL Victoria name drop. It's all I ask, Debano.
It can't happen. It can never happen, Matt. It's the biggest league in the world. It's the center of the universe.
Center of the universe, mate. Center
exactly. Universe. Yeah, I like this. I like this fixture a lot. You mentioned Sophie Harding there as well. That game against Melbourne City really surprised me because up until that point, Western Sydney were really struggling to score and just really struggling to put it all together. Didn't really look like there was too much of a philosophy or direction, but maybe Robbie Hooker's now starting to get his hooks into this side and starting to actually drive them in the way he wants. Western United, I think they have to be the pick for this game though, guys, wouldn't we say?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Western as well. I just think that the addition of Beal sort of changes everything for me. But like I mentioned, I am really looking forward to that, watching that duel unfold of the Beal versus Harding in the final third for the Wanderers.
Yeah, I'm going Western as well, guys. I think they're just going to be that little bit too strong. Wanderers definitely on the up, starting to improve a little bit, but I think Western United are also on the up, and they're a team that I think are going to finish this season really strongly.
Nice, nice. Well, Matty's already given us his thoughts on this distance derby up next. Nick, what do you think? What are you excited about this one?
I tell you what, I can't wait. It's small ball versus a Parker's ball. Like, let's bring it. It's going to be great. You know, I think Wellington, it was a bit of an off night last week against the Mariners. I think they'll bounce back. You know, Paul Temple said he felt they should have had a penalty. You can argue, make a good case for in the first half that Speckmeyer did probably could have won a penalty. Then you can make an argument that, you know, maybe she should have been sent off as well towards the end. But I do think that Wellington and Perth, this is a low-key, sneaky finals preview kind of matchup that I think is going to be a lot of fun to just see play out, because they're two teams who play such exciting brands of football. Perth last week, like, you know, seeing just the resilience in that team is unbelievable. You know, Adelaide the week before, down a goal, battle back, win 2-1. Last week, could have easily dropped their heads after conceding two late goals from Rachel Lowe. But Hannah Lowry scoring that goal late, the attack is now firing on all cylinders. And it's not only, you know, the usual suspects like Fonson, Cam and co. They've got now Lowry getting involved. You still get Millie Farrow involved. I think that first goal is just around the corner. And I think that this game could low-key, I reckon we could see quite a few goals in this game. And I can't pick a winner, so I'm just going to say a high-score draw.
This is a really exciting game, hey. These are two sides playing fantastic football, free scoring for the most part. I like your draw shout, but I'm going to say, I'm sorry to say this, Matt. I reckon it's going to be 3-2 the Knicks.
Wow.
I'm sorry, mate.
I actually agree with you.
Ooh.
I think that, You know when you see a team sort of escape, the great escape,
yeah,
and then, you know, there's that just that one result that, you know, just makes them recalibrate a little bit. I just kind of feel like the last two results coupled with the travel to Wellington will have an absolute go at this game because of last week's result. I can just see the equation of them going down again perhaps and not finding that gear to get back another time. You know, it certainly isn't a prediction with real confidence, because the league leaders, you can never write them off. But if the Glory, the fast-starting Glory, were to break that streak in any week, I think that it might be this week against Paul Temple's side.
Well, it'll be a super interesting one, that one. Melbourne Victory hosting Central Coast Mariners. Nick, we'll go to the Victorian here. What do you think?
This is another really fascinating game because the Victory are in some form. Mariners are in some form. Mariners have become a really hard team to break down. I think that's kind of been the early philosophy that we've seen under Emily Husband. Be strong defensively and take your chances back the other way. But I do think Victory are going to be too strong in this game, guys. I think they're starting to really hit their straps. No Emily Gilnick, I believe she may not be available again. Yep, Matt's nodding her head. So that's obviously going to be another big out for Victory in their attack. But Rachel Lowe's in some incredible form at the moment, guys. She's just playing on another level. And I believe that this is the weekend that finally, and I hope for her sake, she finally breaks it. And Matt, cover your ears, mate, because I'm going to mention the greatest league again, NPLW Victoria. But Correa Aquino is going to break her drought this weekend. I think by my calculations, last I saw, she was the player with the most amount of shots without scoring. I think it's going to happen this week, and I think Victory eke out a tight win over the Mariners.
Look, of course she's going to score. She's a player that we only just moved out of our fantasy team a couple of weeks ago, so she's due that performance. I'm guessing, Nick, that your tip is a victory win there.
Yeah, a close win, a close win.
Yep, I'll go the same. Obviously, the Mariners have been superb over the past few weeks in particular and got a very, very good win at home last week over the Phoenix. But yes, I think that Jeff Hopkins' side is starting to produce near its absolute best form that we've been used to over the past few seasons. And as you mentioned, if Rachel Lowe is in this kind of form, good luck stopping her. So I'm going to go a Melbourne victory win.
I'm in complete agreement here, guys, as well. And interesting on Kariya Aquino. She's been offside a lot as well. So hopefully she can stay onside and put them away in this game. Sydney versus Melbourne City. This is a fantastic game this weekend. This is really exciting. But Melbourne City, Nick, they've got to bounce back from not having Holly McNamara this week.
Yeah, going to be fascinating to see how they bounce back in this one. I mean, you know, I remember when she last hit her knee a couple of years ago, it kind of rattled that Melbourne City attack a lot, and it came at the worst possible time heading into finals. Obviously, very early in the season, I'm really fascinated to see how Dario Vidasic moves things around. I think this could also, I know that we're talking about finals previews and whatnot, I think this could even still be a grand final preview between two of the best teams. For me, though, I think this is going to be a really tight game again, and I'm going to go a draw.
I'm going to go Sydney win. I think, like you mentioned, the loss of Holly McNamara, who has really been the catalyst for a lot of their point earning this season. I mean, think about the late brace against the Jets to get them out of trouble. Think about the 4-3 win over Western Sydney, where if she didn't score a hat trick and earn the penalty for Rihanna Polisina, you know, City might have been at all sorts. So I do think that is going to take a few weeks for City to realize where they're going to get, you know, their confidence and their strengths from around across the park. And they're coming against a Sydney team that is, you know, spurred on by a absolutely red hot bang in form Fiona Wirtz, who just simply cannot stop scoring, scored for fun in Asia, scored for fun on the weekend. And I think she'll do the same against City this weekend.
Yeah, I was about to say it's a bit of a tough one with Sydney FC, because at the start of the season, maybe not everyone was as confident on them as previous years. A lot of change in the personnel at the club, but I think you're right. I think Sydney FC will take this one. I think Melbourne City will take some time to adjust to not having Holly McNamara. You're completely right. She's saved their bacon on many occasions this season. So I'm going to say a Sydney win, but more importantly, I'm hoping for a Holly McNamara swift recovery moving forward. Canberra versus Newcastle. This is the first time we've seen Canberra play in quite a few weeks. How do we think they're going to shape up, Nick?
This is going to be really interesting, because these are two teams that they can leak a lot of goals, but they can also have the capability to score them. And with Melina Ayres back this week, we're getting Ayres versus Heyman, so anything could really happen. I think this is going to be a really, really fascinating game to see how Canberra bounce back after a couple weeks off. Still yet to get that first win, but I think it comes this week. I think Canberra gets a high-scoring win. I'm going to go 3-2 to Canberra at MacKellar Park.
I'm going to go a very high-scoring draw here. Maybe a 3-3, maybe a 4-all. I think this game's going to be absolute chaos. I watched almost every game last weekend, and I was struck probably the most by the almost telepathic connection between Emily Van Egmond and Lara Gooch. They were just unbelievable. The long balls from Van Egmond, the long balls down the line to then, you know, send it back for a cut back. They were playing 1, 2, 3 passes each together. I think that they're going to combine to do the same this weekend. But like you mentioned, Michelle Heyman, Vesna Milivojevic, both coming back from 2 weeks sitting around absolutely desperate to play. You know that they're desperate to play right now. So, yeah, I can just see goals flying in either side, but I can't split either of them. So, yeah, mate, I'll go for 3-3. I won't go out for the 8-goal thriller. We'll stick with the 6.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, firstly, you touch on Lara Gooch then. She has been fantastic this season. Yeah. Without getting the rewards, she got her first goal of the season on the weekend. She has been sensational for them. Yeah. And Emily Van Egmond stepping in, like, just seamlessly, like, it just shows how good of a player she really is. I think because of her, Newcastle are going to get the win this weekend, purely because Emily Van Egmond's just going to put on a masterclass once more. The final game of the round, Brisbane versus Adelaide, a doubleheader up at Suncorp Stadium. Brisbane's first time playing there in, I think, 4 years. So a big opportunity for Alex Smith's side. They didn't get the win in his first game as coach, but Nick, how do we reckon they're going to go in their second?
I'll keep this short and sweet. I think that this is going to be a draw again. I know it's very boring. I think Adelaide need to bounce back. They need to show something. They were better in the second half against Sydney FC. They can't afford to concede first. I think that's been a big issue for them. If they can stay in the game for long enough, they'll give themselves a chance. But I think this is going to be a one-all draw.
Yeah, Chelsea Dorba back in the mix for the Reds after signing this week is a big addition, but I'm not convinced that they can go to Queensland and get a result here. I think that Brisbane, you know, perhaps a bit unlucky to lose 1-0 against Western United last week. They've been a solid team over the first 5 weeks, and, you know, they're coming off a loss, a draw, and then another loss, but I'm going to predict that they turn things around this week and get a win over Adelaide at home.
I think so too. And I think a big one as well that we should also pay a little bit of attention to, because we haven't mentioned her, but Chelsea Blissett as well, another ACL injury on the weekend. We wish her a speedy recovery. Brisbane will be without her, and she's probably been their best player so far this year, or one of, if not. So I think this will be Brisbane as well. I think playing at Suncorp Stadium, such a nice pitch as well, I think it's going to be a big factor for them. And I think that you're right. It was a scrappy goal that Western United got, and Brisbane just kept trying and trying and trying in that second half in particular. So I think Brisbane will get the chocolates in that one to round out the Liberty A-League. Now let's move on to the Isuzu Ute A-League. MacArthur versus Melbourne Victory. We'll start with you, Maddie. What are you making of that fixture?
This is going to be a cracker. MacArthur, we've said it sort of every week now. They've been very, very impressive so far, very solid. Victory have come into form of late, but I think that MacArthur at home on a Friday night, they are going to get the victory over Victory this weekend.
I disagree, Matt. I think Victory's bound to bounce back. I think they'll come away with quite a comfortable win. I don't think MacArthur's been bad at all, but I think Victory have underperformed the last two games and probably should have four wins from four had it not been for some, you know, poor finishing in both games and a bit of bad luck against Wellington as well. So I'm going Victory winning this game 2-0.
I think Melbourne Victory just have too much class in that side, just too many good players. I think Bruno Fornaroli could have a good game. I don't know why. I've just got a sneaky suspicion. He's obviously been very good at the start of this season. We saw Tony Popovich talking earlier this week just about the players who received their caps, Daniel Arzani, Ben Falami, and Bruno Fornaroli. Can that spur them on? I think it can this weekend. So I'm going to say Melbourne Victory get the win there. Another game with the Melbourne team. Wellington host Melbourne City. Matt, do you reckon the Knicks can continue?
Well, we mentioned earlier that Oscar Zavada is out with a groin injury. That hurts their chances significantly, in my opinion. Melbourne City will have Tolga Arslan in the squad, as we suspected, but you know, he is carrying the toe injury, I believe. So whether or not he gets up to start will make a big difference to City's fortunes. And also we had the news that Matt Leckie is around training, running in straight lines, which is really encouraging. The word was that he might travel with the squad, but hasn't been included in the squad. And Nuno Reyes is also out with a quad injury. So that's something for City to consider. But overall, I think that Melbourne City are going to get the win here. Oscar Zavada out is just too big of a loss for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Melbourne City win this one. You know, been a bit better under Aurelio Vidmar, but I think that the form on the road has been a little bit of a concern. They've lost their last, cover your ears, Melbourne City fans, but the last two times they've travelled in the league, they've conceded six. I think things have changed a little bit since then. So obviously with the change of coach and personnel and whatnot, but I think they'll be too strong. Zavada's a big out for Wellington, and Melbourne City come away with a 1-0 win.
Yeah, as he said himself, the best striker in the league is out this weekend in Oscar Zavada. But I think another man who'll have something to say about that is fresh off a Socceroos hat-trick, Jamie McLaren. I think he's going to have a big game this weekend against Wellington. So I am picking Melbourne City as the winner there, just to be clear. Central Coast versus Newcastle, the F3 derby. What are you saying, Matty boy?
Well, keep your eye out for one of the sort of feel-good stories of the early few rounds. Young Archie Goodwin for the Jets is in contention. The word is that he's potentially could feature off the bench for the Jets. Obviously, this fixture has been switched around to be hosted by the Mariners this weekend, with with the Jets hosting the later fixture that was meant to be hosted in Gosford. On their travels, look out for young Archie coming off the bench for the Jets. That could be really exciting. This is an interesting one. You look at it and you think that the Mariners, so desperate for points after the start of the season that they've had. I think that the Jets are scoring quite freely at the moment. And as a result, the Mariners will probably get a good foothold in this game, but struggle to win in a maybe 2-2 draw, I'll go with.
The bubble has to burst eventually.
Yeah.
I think that finally the Mariners get some points on the board, and I think they win this one. You know, it's been a while. They've been underperforming their XG, so they've been creating chances. They just can't finish. That's just been the tale of their story. They're conceding goals that they shouldn't. They're not converting their chances. I think that this time around, it turns around for them. It's going to be a win for the Central Coast Mariners this weekend.
I think so as well. I think you're absolutely right there. They, you know, they're the reigning champions. They've been fantastic in Asia. Make what you will of the competition they're playing against, but I think they've got to win here. I think it's very important for Mark Jackson as well that they get a win and start to build something there, because at the moment, they're just not getting the results. So I'm going to say Central Coast do get the win in this one. And here's the big one of the weekend, the Sydney Derby. I'll be there in the flesh. I can't wait for it. Hopefully, it's a big crowd at Allianz Stadium. Matt, it's a massive game.
Yeah, and what was the sort of pattern last year? I believe the away team always seemed to get the chocolates over four games. And what an absolute treat the Derby was last year over those games. We got treated to the final series, which was absolutely fantastic to get stuck into. And it's always exciting no matter when these two teams play. But I'm going to stick to the rule and I'm going to say the Wanderers will get up here on Sydney's home turf.
You know what? We're going to have a draw. It's funny you mentioned that, Matt, because, you know, even speaking when Cassini Yenge had his press conference here the other week, and you just mentioned to him, oh, you remember that goal you scored in the Derby? And his face just lights up.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was a very, very, very important win for the Wanderers. But I think this is going to be a really, really good game, guys. I mean, you know, Sydney are back in some form. The Wanderers have been one of the form teams to start the season. I'm going a 2-2 draw.
I'm just hoping it's got goals. I'll be happy if it's 2-2. Last year, I believe both the league games were 1-0s and not too, they were exciting and they were full of energy and passion, but not quite as many goals as we maybe would have liked. I'm going to go bold here. I'm going to say 2-3 to Wanderers. I'm just going to say, I reckon Borrello is going to score. I'm just going to say, I don't know why.
It seems like you decided that in the moment, Cam.
And you're absolutely correct.
You decided the score and then you thought, and who actually scored those goals in that order? I don't know.
And that is correct.
Can I just add, if Borrello scores and you're watching on at home, turn on 10 Bold or Paramount Plus, because if they interview him, you know it's going to be box office and he's going to have something to say. Even if they lose, he's going to have something to say. So,
hell yeah.
Box office Borrello, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Bang average. Get that back out again from last year. So, so good. Brisbane v. Perth. This is a Comito-Johnson rivalry here in this game. A doubleheader as well at Suncorp. Matt, are you backing your boys?
Well, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, you were telling me you were Perth born and raised, CJ. So I'm not too sure about that.
Just raised.
yeah, look, this is going to be another brilliant one. I do think that Brisbane win this one. However, Perth are bolstered by a pretty strong group returning to the fore. We've got Mustafa Amini, Luke Ivanovic, Adam Taggart, Ollie Bozanic. They're all coming back into the fold. So look out for the sort of injection of that into the squad. But yeah, I think that Glory just haven't quite found their feet so far. And Brisbane, you know, I think that everyone can see win, lose or draw. They're playing with a very clear identity and look very, very motivated under Ross Aloisi. So I'm going to go with the raw for this one, Cam.
Yeah, guys. I mean, I think for me, I'm going to go Brisbane as well. I want to throw a stat at you guys. Perth have only won one of their last 24 league games outside of WA. It's not great reading. They've got to turn things around eventually. But I think that the Roar just going to be a little bit too strong. They've really impressed me under Ross Aloisi, but I think it's going to be a good game.
I think you're spot on there as well. And I think the game against Western Sydney for Perth, it was a really interesting game because in the first half, they created so many opportunities with David Williams getting in behind, and they probably should have had a few goals in that first half, but just couldn't quite finish. So Taggart coming back will be a big in for them. But I think Brisbane will win this game. I think for the sake of our fantasy team, Tom Waddingham's going to score a brace. Let's just say that.
Absolutely.
2-0, we like it. Western United versus Adelaide. Matt, this is a big game to round out the round.
And one big name featuring in the ins category for Adelaide. Nestori Irinkunda is back in the mix. The Bayern-bound boy, let's see him have an absolute crack at the rest of this season. Javi Lopez, Ethan Aligic also back for the Reds with Panache Madania out with an ankle injury. And Western United, Jacob Tratt and Reece Bosanovsky are coming into the mix. But, you know, with Nestor on the team sheet, we're assuming he's going to slot in at right wing straight from the start, and let's see him have a real crack. I'm going to tip an Adelaide win on the road here.
The farewell tour begins in Ballarat. If you're a local out in the regions of Victoria and you want to go and have something to do on your late Sunday, get out to Mars Stadium. Go see Mr. Irinkunda, because appreciate him while he lasts down here before he heads off to Germany. You know what, guys? I actually think Western United are going to bounce back this week. I think they need to. I think that the pressure is rising. I mean, three games without a goal, three games without getting a point. You know, they had the ball in the back of the net twice against the Jets. Yes, the ball was out of bounds and there was a clear offside to Rukavica. But I do think that this time around it turns. But I don't think it turns around just enough. I'm going to sit on the fence one more time, guys. I'm really sorry about this. But I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw between Western United and Adelaide. But I do think it's going to be quite a fun game, though. I think that Adelaide are going to throw a few proverbial punches, and so are Western.
It's a lot of draws today, Nick. I think you're reading from James Dodd's book of the new manager half bounce he tried to give to us last week and tip a draw. I'm not taking this fence sitting from you, Devano.
I feel like I don't select enough draws. I feel like I'm always chasing a win. To some point. And I'll tell you what, Nick, Bayern Munich and Ballarat are two words / places I thought I'd never hear in the same sentence from Ballarat to Bayern Munich. But I love it. And there's only 23 games left of him here. So make sure you head to see him.
And look, the carnival was in town before the break. I don't know if the carnival is still in. They were in the background of Mars Stadium. So if you spend the day at the carnival, you wrap up at 4:00, you get down to Mars by 5 for kickoff. I mean, what better way would you want to spend your Sunday out in Ballarat? It's a great day of family golf.
Win yourself a plush toy, go on a ride and get yourself a Dagwood dog, then watch Nestori Irinkunda score a banger. I can't think of much better to do. I'm going to say Adelaide win this game just because, you know, that bounce back. I think Carl Viet will have them really fired up as well. And I think Nestori Irinkunda coming back into the side. Got to love it. Got to love it. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. Nick, a great debut on the show. Thank you very much for coming on. And Maddie, as always, a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Cam.
Thank you.
Well, Nick, you're going to have to steer the ship next week because you've got two loose units joining you. It's Lockie and Pakua on the show alongside you, a Victorian special. So, Matty, I think that one's going to get out of hand, and I think the NPL quota is going to be more than breached in that episode. So, just a heads up for everyone.
Yeah, I'm concerned for the health of our two fantasy teams, but I'm excited to watch the carnage unfold, that's for sure.
Yeah, we reckon Brandon Borello in a derby is going to be blockbuster. I reckon that one next week in the A-League's fantasy show is going to be even better. Thanks for joining me, guys. And that wraps up another episode of the A-League's fantasy show. We'll be back next week to go over everything in the world of fantasy after this weekend's round of the Liberty A-League and the Isuzu Ute A-League, as well as looking ahead to the following week's action. You can also tune in on Monday for our weekly review show on the Isuzu Ute A-League, where our panel of Keep Up experts will go over all the big talking points from the latest round of the 2023-24 Isuzu Ute A-League. To never miss an episode, remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. And to stay up to date with everything A-League's related, head to aleagues.com.au, keepup.com.au, or download the A-League's app. Matt, Nick, thank you very much. And as always, remember to enjoy the football.